On this feast of St. Stephen, all the clergy here insist that it must be me who preaches the homily. After all, I have the name Stephen as well as the ordained vocation of deacon, so it must be me. Even if it is just to give a tiny bit of rest to our priests who have just celebrated 10 Christmas masses, I'm happy to do that. Our challenge today, as it is every December 26th, is to try to understand why would we go immediately from the joy of the birth of the Christ child to the vicious murder of Christ's innocent disciple, Stephen. I would never have told the story in the order our liturgical year has laid it out. But let's stay in that Christmas spirit, that Christmas moment, for just a little bit longer. St. John Chrysostom reflects on the birth of Christ like this: "Truly wonderful is the Nativity. For this day the ancient slavery is ended, the devil confounded, the demons take to flight, the power of death is broken, paradise is unlocked, the curse is taken away, sin is removed from us, error driven out, the truth has been brought back, the speech of kindliness diffused and spreads on every side. A heavenly way of life has been planted on the earth." I think that's very beautiful of St. John Chrysostom. It is still Christmas, and so it's important for us to be a witness to the world in continuing to say Merry Christmas to all we meet. Don't throw out your Christmas tree or take down your lights. And especially this octave of Christmas, continue to celebrate. Keep the rhythm of our liturgical year. And don't let the world tell you it's over. The words of Jesus in today's gospel passage give us the clues about why Jesus was born. The coming of Jesus, the Messiah, is the sign that will be contradicted. It is also the sign that heaven will be opened and his faithful will see the glory of God. Not in some unclear future, but right now, in our testifying to the world that he has come in the flesh to raise us up. It is also the sign that the Spirit will inspire our witness of God's love to the world. That's what Jesus says. Don't worry about what you say or what you will say when you are challenged. I summarize the whole purpose of the church in these two ways. I don't think I'm too far off, but the first is our care for the poor, the downtrodden, those in great need. Jesus introduced his ministry by reading from Isaiah to heal the brokenhearted, to set the oppressed free. The church's second task is to invite people to faith in the one God and Father and the Son, the Redeemer of humankind. The church exists to evangelize. A third priority would be transforming society into the kingdom of justice and peace, but I believe that this happens through the first two. Now, what we do see in the life and the ministry and the martyrdom of St. Stephen is these very purposes of the church. He was already a man of faith and the Holy Spirit, it tells us in Acts chapter 6. The apostles themselves ordained him and six others to serve the poor and the needy of the community. But somewhere along the line that we don't see in Scripture, Stephen was obviously transformed into servant of the poor to dynamic and persuasive teacher, as it says, who did great wonders and signs among the people. Jesus also did great signs and wonders. But what does Jesus say? With the power of the Spirit, you will do even greater things than these. But Stephen didn't change his job description as a Christian. His powerful preaching came from his service to the poor, not because he was a great orator. This is the first part of the witness to us. All are called to service. And the Greek word for this is diakonia, from which we have deacon. And all are called to witness to the truth, to Christ. And the Greek word for this witness is martyras. Diakonia and martyras. All of us are called to serve, and in some way to proclaim our faith and our service. Mary and Stephen were called full of grace. After Mary, Stephen is our model as a disciple. He showed us in every way how to bring the presence of Christ into a broken world. And if this is so, we must do these things. This is a list that I have gleaned from today's scripture passage from Acts. Look to heaven in our prayer and see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. This is open to us. Plead with the Holy Spirit to be our voice in speaking the truth of God. This is for us. Pray for those who have persecuted us. Not easy. But ask the Lord Jesus not to hold the sin of others against them. This is our calling. Pray with Jesus on the cross in the words of Psalm 31, which we hear today, into your hand I commit my spirit. We can say this before any difficult task. We can pray this. We must also recognize the demons when they are enraged by Christ, because they are indeed enraged by Christ, when they grind their teeth at him. All around us, they block their ears because they cannot stand to listen to the truth. And we are invited, like Stephen, to face them with strength and courage and joy, knowing that the stage is now set for our victory over death. To receive the crown of glory, which is what Stephen means. We will not have to be overwhelmed necessarily in order to be Christ's diaconia, his servants. There are opportunities all around us for this. We will not have to be stoned to death to be his martyres. Life already gives us lots of opportunities for those things, does it not? We just need to draw on the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of love. Christmas is the great love story. And that love will hurt sometimes, it is true, isn't it? But we are comforted and strengthened because God's Word has become flesh and lives among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Let us not be afraid, brothers and sisters. May God, who has begun this work, this good work in you, bring it to fulfillment.